Look, let's go straight to the word of God. Genesis chapter number 27, verse 20. We're ending the gospel series for now. Not because we teach any other thing that is not the gospel, but we're just ending the series for today. Glory to God. Glory to God. Genesis 27. If you can't find Genesis, come to Jesus. Anybody? Because even if you have the book, it's the first book in the Bible. Amen. Genesis 27, verse 20. And then we'll go to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Today we'll be dealing with propitiation and identification. Propitiation and identification. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let's read it together. You know this verse. We've preached it. We've cooked it. We've fried it. So it should be easy for everyone to connect with this Sunday morning. At the count of three, one, two, three, go. No. Don't give me that first service hungry vibe. No, don't do that. As I thought service is very, they shout at thought service. You know why they ate before coming to church? Thought service, they're crazy. So, I thought second service was mad. No, those guys in thought service, like they ate pounded yam before coming to church. So let's behave as if we ate in the spirit before coming to church. So one, two, three, go. Better. We'll do it again. We can be better. We'll do it again. That was better. I appreciate you. I wanted to speak, but let's swap out. Go, inverted harmony. One, two, three, go. How is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. There are some things that only God can bring to you. There's some things that your partners can send to you. There's some things that your friends can give to you. But who's ready for something this year that you can say, the Lord, this house, this car, this job, this man, this woman, the Lord brought him to me. The Lord brought them to me. Whose word is this early morning? If this is your word, shout yes, somebody. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Everyone that believes to the Jews and also. Father, thank you for the anointing that makes teaching and preaching simple. I ask that the eyes of our understanding be enlightened to know the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. And everyone comes into the full benefit of the finished work on the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the gospel. It's powerful enough to do what only the gospel can do. So we trust in you, in Jesus' matchless name. And everybody said amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Like I want to continue from where I stopped on Wednesday when I said to you, the gospel is God's remedy for all malady. The gospel is God's remedy for all malady. Have you ever entered a damn full bus? No, sorry, it would be Molue many years ago. And as the bus takes off, somebody stands up in the bus and starts advertising a drug that is good for cancer. That same drug, you don't know what I'm talking about? You guys are really blessed. That same drug is good for diabetes. That same drug is good for staphylococcus. That same drug is good for heart disease. That same drug is good for giving birth. That same drug can open your reproductive system. One man stands and it's just this drug. The gospel is God's pill for every situation. Are you listening to me? The gospel is God's pill for every situation. Sometimes you think you need to hear another message. What you actually need is the same gospel. So some of you say, but after a while, it's good to hear something else. No, it's not good to hear anything else. Jesus, God, you cannot be wiser than God. He made it very easy. The gospel is God's pill for every situation. Are you listening to me? Is that pill? The Bible says, I commend you to God and the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among the saints. Acts chapter 20, verse 32. If you give me this in TPT, it will bless you. Give me this in TPT. Love it. TPT, find it in TPT. Let's read together. One, two, three, go. And so now I entrust you into God's hands and the message of his grace, which is all that you need. to become strong. Did you see the next verse, the continuing verse? It says, all of God's blessings are impacted through the message of his grace. Do you want the child? You need the message of his grace. You need a new job? You need the message of his grace. You're trying to be healed? You need the message of his grace. Because it says, all of God's blessings are impacted through the message of his grace. Any blessing and any miracle that grace cannot give to you is the devil that will give it to you. It says here, all of God's blessing. So the gospel is God's channel for blessing. Oh, write that down. The gospel is God's channel for blessing. The gospel is God's spiel. The gospel is God's channel for blessing. Are you listening to me? The gospel is God's reproductive organ. When God wants to reproduce himself, he sends you the gospel. Ooh, did you see that? When God wants to make man in his own image and his likeness, he sends you the gospel. Because it's the gospel that brings you into the image and in the likeness of God. For Christ is the image and the likeness of God. I hope you know Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27 wasn't talking about Adam. That was talking about the man in Christ. Adam was formed in Genesis chapter 2. So when he was talking about let us make man in our image in Genesis chapter 1 verse 26 and 27, it was not Adam, it was Jesus, the man in Christ. What the gospel can do. But when he got to Genesis chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible says, and God formed the man out of the ground. So man was formed, but the believer is created. If any man be in Christ, he is new creation. You are God's. Ooh, that's good stuff. A man was formed out of the ground, but the believer is created. Because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. New creation. I'm not a renovation. I'm not an upgraded version. I'm not a refurbishment. I'm new. That means I never existed before that time. So when I receive Jesus into my heart, my past disappears. What is not a continuation of life. It's a new life in Christ Jesus. So the gospel is God's reproductive organ. First, the gospel is first, is what? God's will. Second is what? The gospel is God's channel of blessing. Third, the gospel is what? God's what? And let me say this again. The gospel is God has sent you a savior. Men in bondage do not need good advice. They need a good savior. Men in bondage don't need good advice, they need good savior. Rayan Bonnke said this many years ago, and it really blessed me. The gospel is you need a savior. Have you ever been in a place where you were drowning, and then somebody sends you a book whilst you are drowning? Take this book, How to Swim for Dummies. That's not what you need at that time. You need a lifeguard to save you. The gospel is God's saving system to mankind. The message of the gospel is not about principles, it's about the prince. I said it's on Wednesday, I want to continue. The message of the gospel is not about principles, it's about the prince. Because there is a system in many churches where they just teach principles on Sunday morning. No, no, no. The message of the gospel is not about principles, it's about what? The prince. Isaiah 9 verse 6, you should know the prince. Unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. The gospel is about the prince and not his principles. Once the prince comes into your heart, the prince will leave his principles in you, through you, with you, for you. Did you hear what I said? When the prince comes into your heart, he will leave that his principles in you, with you, through you, and for you. I've said this too many times. I'm not afraid to say it because I didn't say it by mistake. Nobody can live the Christian life. Not the Pope, not the ones in Express Road, not the ones on this Express. Nobody can live the Christian life. Only Christ can live his life through your life. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, nonetheless I live, not I, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. So what is the job of the believer? Let Jesus live his life through your life. Not you trying to live the Christian life. No man can live the Christian life. Let Christ live his life through your life. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? So the message of the gospel, and hold up a minute, let me say this. When I say the message of the gospel is about the prince and not his principle. I'm not talking about Galilee man. I'm not talking about how he walked the earth. I'm telling you about how he died on the cross. Jesus did not come to walk the earth. Jesus didn't come to perform miracles. Jesus didn't even come to teach and preach. The three cardinal apostles of the New Testament, Pauline, Johannine, Petrus, none of them used any proverb that Jesus used.
They were irrelevant to the New Testament church. Read your Bible. There's nobody that Paul now say, like Jesus said in his parable. No. Nobody highlighted Jesus' parables. They elucidated his death, his burial. Oh, this is good. I think the average member of this church is a theological, Christocentric student. No apostle, not Peter, not Paul, not John, in their writings now say, hey, by the way, like our, you know how they say, like pastor said, no. Nobody said what he said. They said what he did. He came to die. Oh, God. He came to die. So when I'm talking about the prince, I'm not talking about the Galilee man, or the man of Galilee who did miracles. If Jesus came, performed miracles and did not die, he failed. If Jesus came without performing any miracle and died, he's done the work. Why did he perform miracles? Why did he do those things? To show us our capability and our capacity in Christ. That was just extra curriculum activity. So I'm saying to you that when we talk about the prince here, I'm not talking about what he did, how he fed 5,000 people. When he fed 5,000 people, nobody got saved. You didn't hear what I said. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When he fed 5,000 people, nobody got saved. When he raised the dead, nobody got saved. Because that's what you want. The miracle. We like those things. When he walked on water, nobody got saved. But when he died, when he was buried, and when he resurrected, people got saved. Even the old saints of the past could not enter heaven. They were waiting for Jesus to die. So they could not enter heaven. They were all waiting for Jesus to die. They were all in a holding place. It was not hell. Whilst he was doing miracle, God fast, leave miracle, die. Die now. He know who die. Abraham, all the fathers of the faith, waiting for him to die. Because no man can get to heaven before the man Christ Jesus. You can't enter the house without the owner now. So there was no man in heaven without Jesus. I'm preaching, no. There's no man in heaven without Jesus. Jesus was the man who led them in transition. In what again? That's transition is not the word. In triumphant entry. In procession, that's the word. Into heaven. No man was there. That's why he said to the thief on the cross, today, you'll be with me in paradise, not heaven. He had not died now. He had not resurrected. So there was no heaven. Because heaven is Jesus. So let me take you to the holding place. So you know the promiscuity of God's grace. The thief and Abraham got into heaven the same time. Father Abraham. No, Father Abraham. That bad. And the thief with Jesus entered at the same time. That's the promiscuity of the grace of God. I'm preaching good. And you see what I'm saying? So the message of the gospel is not about Galilee man, how Jesus did this. No, it's about his death, his burial. It's not what he taught. He made a disclaimer before he died. Now, John 16, verse 12. Jesus said, there are many things I want to tell you, but I can't tell you. That means I didn't come to talk. He said, but I have to leave, and I will send the Alus Paracletos. And when he comes, he shall reveal the truth. That's his death. Verse 12. Put 12, 12, 12, 12. I have yet many things to say, but you cannot handle them. You can't send video to Nokia 3310. It does not have the capacity to receive it. They were not born again. They didn't have the spirit of truth. So those people who wrote in the Old Testament, when they come now, they'll go to LFC, we'll teach them Bible. Because they did not know what they wrote. Because no man knoweth the things of God except they are revealed by the Spirit. And they didn't have the Spirit. You and I have the Spirit. I'm talking Bible. Fight the book. Don't fight me. Are you listening to me? So Jesus did not, he came to, it's not about the man who walked the water. So the message of the gospel is not about how Jesus walked the earth, but how he died for the world. It's not how he walked the earth, it's how he died for the world. And like, you know, we say this all the time. that Jesus never taught like that. But I've been saying this for a while, that I want to do a series on Jesus' Bible study. Because Jesus had one Bible study. Yeah, Jesus had one Bible study that in my heart is a template for our Bible study. Yeah, he had one Bible study. They didn't elucidate what he spoke about, but he pointed what exactly he talked. Luke chapter 24, Jesus is walking in Luke 24. Some disciples are talking. Now, this man, he died, I don't know what's happening. Jesus entered their midst, like he did not know what they were talking about, and said to them, hey, what is this thing that you people are talking about? He said, are you a novice? You know the town? You know see Insta blog? You didn't see it in town? That this man, Jesus, that they killed which day here. Now they've gone to check his grave. The body's not there. Everybody's confused. They said they saw him. 500 people saw him when he resurrected. This is what is happening. Then Jesus said to them, this is how Jesus' Bible study started. And this Bible study is crucial because it's the Bible study after his resurrection. Because it's the Bible study what? After his resurrection. It's not Proverbs. It's not parables. It's Bible study. I'm teaching. Put it up. Then he said unto them, oh fools. Jesus, your Jesus, the resurrected one. He was not really a nice guy. He was a disruptor, not playing. No. He goes, oh fools, beginning of Bible study. It's not an insult, it's the state where you are. Beginning of Bible study, oh fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Bible study has started. Jesus is teaching. Next verse. Ought not Christ to have suffered? Not Jesus Christ. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? That means, didn't you read it in your prophets, in the law of Moses, that this is the job description of Christ, not to raise the dead, but to die? Next verse. And beginning, God help this voice today. Beginning at Moses, Jesus didn't even dodge the Old Testament. Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That's Bible study. So Bible study is about a person alone. Bible study is a narrow road. It's narrow to one person. So Jesus didn't tell them what happened between Moses and Elijah. How Jeremiah visited Hezekiah. How Hezekiah went to see Nehemiah. And Nehemiah now said, no, this your baby is too long, let's cut it. It was not about stories, it was about a person. Are you listening to me? This is Jesus's Bible study. He's giving us a template. That the Bible study is about a person, a whom? About what? Himself. And what was those things he said about himself? Not how he walked on water. Ought not Christ to have? So the Bible study is about his death. Not parables. Or how to manage your relationship now that is bouncing in the Lord. No, no, no. It's about what? His death. His burial. Let's go on with the Bible study. I want to show you something. Go on with the Bible study. 44 to 48. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms. Concerning who? Me. So Bible study and the gospel is about what? A person. And that person is not what he came to do, is what he died, how he died. Next verse. And he opened their understanding that they may understand the scripture. MVP, you can open Bible without opening scriptures. The gospel is the tool with which you use in opening scriptures. On Sunday morning, this Sunday morning, a lot of churches that they will open Bible, but they not open the scriptures. Oh, I don't get money, I forgive myself, offering. Hey, God. They will open Bible this Sunday morning and teach nonsense, but they did not open the scripture. Because the only way to open the scripture is to see the lenses of the gospel, his death, his burial, his resurrection. Such a lonely message. By the way, such a lonely work. Because this Sunday, this is the period of first fruit. You have to finish it today because salary will come this week. So today you have to preach it strong. It opened the scripture. So you can open the Bible without opening scripture. How do you open the scripture? By revealing the gospel. So when you see people reading, are you opening the scripture or you are opening Bible? Even if you say it outside, they will not even know what you are saying. So don't, no need. Even to the pastors, they will not even know. Say, what did you say? He opened the scriptures and elucidated to them. They will not even know what you are saying, so no need. Say it to yourselves. Are you opening the Bible? You are opening the scriptures. Because to open the scriptures, you need the lessons of the gospel to see. Once you start seeing his death, his burial, his resurrection, who he is in you, who you are in him, your abilities in him, your position in him, your identity in him, your inheritance in him. Oje, that's how you see that you're opening the scriptures, because you can open Bible without opening the scriptures. When I say don't go to a Bible believing church, go to a Jesus revealing church. You get why? So religion can open Bible, but the gospel is only the gospel that opens the scripture. Scripture can only be seen through the lenses of the gospel. Scripture can only be seen through the lenses of the gospel. Jesus did not show him principles or stories of Elijah. And there's just this whole kingdom people. You know, try and manage your ignorance, please. So, you know, I don't believe in this. I'm a kingdom person. You know, I know you guys do this gospel, but I'm a kingdom man. That's why I really don't have any church. So you see me, I'm just a kingdom person. Anywhere I see the work of God, I just give to it. Anywhere I see this again, I give to it. Is that what the Bible teaches? Or you just bring your emotions, your sentiments, and your feelings into it. Every time I see that there's a need here in the work of the Lord, I just give to it. Every time I see there's a charity here, I just give to it. So we are kingdom people. What is kingdom? What is kingdom without you knowing who the king is? So you know what? You know I don't do all those back and forth. So let the Bible tell us about the kingdom. Is that fair enough? Mark chapter 1 verse 14 and 15. Because now here they fight me one time. And it's amazing that you fight me with the scriptures. And you don't have the patience to always read the next verse. Chica, just the next verse. Patient, it's like 2 seconds. The next verse. Because he brought it to me, one pastor. Now, after that, John was put in prison. Jesus came into Galilee. Piflo, Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You left gospel, you went to kingdom. You're preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So this thing is about the kingdom. This thing, we are kingdom people. So I don't know this, your grace. We are kingdom people. I say, okay, sir. Next verse. And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. What is that kingdom of God? If you want to clap, clap well. It's metanoia first. Change your mind about God and what? Believe the gospel. CEO, yes, Dickiness Ayo that did English. What do they used to call this dot dot here? That means you want to explain what you are saying, Abi? Which means change your mind about God and believe the gospel. That is what. Tell your neighbor, stay planted in the gospel. Say it again one more time, stay planted in the gospel. So last week I taught you about two things. The irreversible great exchange. Did that bless you?
Yes, sir.
2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, TLB. For God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins, and in exchange poured God's goodness where? Into us. Then we read about Jesus Barabbas. Did that shock you last week? Jesus Barabbas. It shocked you, right? Somebody said to me, we're talking about one Jesus. Is this, you say, Papi Flo, wait, is Jesus Barabbas? It's not our Jesus they're talking about. That cannot be coincidence. So when I hear people just talk, you know, the Bible was written by men, I'm like, are you people serious? Don't worry, I did philosophy as my first degree, so I heard a lot of that rubbish for 4 years. Yeah. And I'm like, what is this? Are you seeing the details in this book? This can be a mistake. And what are you talking about? It's too intentional. Jesus, who is called Barabbas, or Jesus, who is called the Anointed One. So they just mistakenly had their names the same. God was so intentional. I think extra intentional. I believe hyper intentional. Because everything about the gospel of God's grace is hyper. Because it's, please, I like grace. I don't like hyper grace. There's no grace that is not hyper. It's just hyper and responsible. It's the power and the pardon. Are you listening to me? Anything that is not hyper is not God's grace. That's what it is. Are you listening to me? So let's delve into what we want to share today, as I don't have so much time. I want to talk to you about propitiation, the excess payment and the punishment for our sins. Propitiation. Propitiation. Glory to God. Glory to God. Let me start by saying, when I'm talking about propitiation, there's something I don't really think I've shared here well in this church. Forgiveness of sin is not just the mercy of God at work, it's the justice of God in place. Forgiveness of sins is not just the mercy of God at work, it's the justice of God in place. So, if your sins are not forgiven now, God is not just. So when we say the believer is eternally forgiven, it's not a matter of just the mercy of God. It is the justice system of God. Because if you understand this, you'll not be saying, so do you now mean, are you now saying, it will clear that doubt that the justice system of God was served. Oh, this is what the woman was asking on Wednesday that I think I didn't even get totally on. She was saying, must there be blood? Must there be blood? Blah, blah. The wages of sin is not, I'm sorry. It's death. So the fact that you're enjoying the mercy of God is that somebody died. Judgment was served already. So you cannot die for your sins because somebody already died for it. If you die for it, it makes God an unjust God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So I don't know how to say it. There's something I want to say, but it may put me in trouble. So, right now, after justice has been served and you have received Jesus, God is not doing you a favor for giving you. He's being a just God for giving you. Do you understand? Oh, that's why I can't say these things. I told you, things I know about the gospel, I can't say it. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So God is not now doing you a favor to forgive you. He's being just. The eternal justice system will hold him to ransom if he does not forgive you, because somebody paid for your debt. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Because as a just God, he had to punish sin. As a savior, he had to save the sinner. Are you understanding? No, there'll be no propitiation. It's your best. Everything is good. You see what I'm saying? So if God, you're not sure, because of, so when people talk like that, I'm like, what kind of ignorance? Because of this lie, you cannot make it to heaven. I'm like, do you know you will hold God ransom? God will go to court. Because he wasn't. Salvation is God first saving himself before saving us. I'm telling you, he was in court. The person who showed up is his son, who has done something wrong. If he kills the son, the wife is waiting for him at home. If he set the son free, Nigeria Bar Association will call him to say, what's going on? So God came out of God and became the sacrifice for the payment of sin, the penalty for the payment of sin, to satisfy the justice system. That's what I'm saying. If you are a believer and you have received Christ, and you say God cannot forgive you, no, he's unjust, and he's not an unjust God. So he's not really doing you a favor. He's playing his role in the justice system of God. Yes, that role was initiated by the mercies of God, I agree. But what happened is justice served. Did I explain it small? Okay, let me show you some scripture. The wages of sin is not, I'm sorry. So I can step on, bro, now, hey, shh, I'm sorry. That's not how you forgive sins. It's as I step like that, die. Blood go flow. Hey, God help me. So when he brought Abraham to Mount Moriah, Pastor Obina, and said, Abraham, Abraham, now I know you really love me. Do not kill your son. He did not now say, you can go home. Everything is fine. Oh! Something had to happen. Because the justice system is still pending. He would have just said, Abraham, I was just testing you now. It's okay. It's okay. You can go. You can go. And Abraham went, no! They brought a lamb. Because justice must be served. Are you understanding? Are you understanding? So when you come, when the Bible says let's come boldly, you get why? Oh, even told us again, we don't believe him, we'll never be the problem. Let's come boldly and obtain. Why? Justice. Somebody has taken that bullet. So for God not to forgive you, do you understand what you are saying? He will kill another Jesus. So when he says there is no other sacrifice for sins, that's what he's saying, that this matter of sin has been dealt with thoroughly once and for. Are you understanding me? So when the Bible says when he shall come, he's not looking for sin, he's looking for faith, because he has dealt with sin. Hebrews, that he came once to take away sin, and when he returns, he's not looking for sin, he's looking for faith. Let's go. What do you think is in Isaiah chapter 53? Let's go from verse 4. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrow. No, let's start from verse 1. Spirit of God said I should start from verse 1. Start from verse 1. Who had believed our report? Who is believing our gospel? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of the dry ground. He had no form nor comeliness. And when ye shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. The beating strong, that when you see him, you throw up. Next verse. He was despised and rejected of men. A man of what? Sorrows. And acquitted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. And he was despised. And we esteemed him. No, next verse. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Next verse. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, that means the punishment of our peace, was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Next verse. He now says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to his own way. The Lord had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. He's telling you about the payment that has been done. Next verse. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, and he opened not his mouth. That's what he went through. It was the thorough payment, Romans, give me Romans 3, 26, TPT 25 and 26. Jesus, God-given destiny was to be sacrificed to take away sins. And now he is our mercy seat. Mercy seat is a person. When we talk of mercy seat, we think that it's a seat like this, where they wrote mercy. Mercy. So they say God looks at the mercy seat. God looks at Jesus. He is our mercy seat. Oh, because of his death on the cross, we come to him for mercy. Because justice has been served. That's why we can now go and take mercy. Because somebody had died. It was not because he was just benevolent and he just wanted to. No. Because of justice. So mercy is a byproduct of the justice of God. I am preaching good. We come to him for mercy. For God has made a provision for us to be forgiven by faith in the sacred blood of Jesus. 26 is where I'm going to. Next verse. Next verse. This is the perfect demonstration of God's justice. This is the perfect demonstration of God's justice. Because until now, he had been so patient, holding back his justice out of the tolerance for our sins. So he covered over the sins of those who lived prior to Jesus' sacrifice. Are you saying? 26. And when the sins were covered in the Old Testament, he was just covering it because I need to release justice. Covering of sins does not take sin away. Now behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins. Are you listening? Let's read. And when the season of tolerance came to an end, there was only one possible way for God to give away his righteousness. One way for God to give his righteousness. The only way God will give away his righteousness and still be true to both. To put his justice and his mercy, to offer up his own son. So now, because we stand in the faithfulness of Jesus, God declares us righteous. Why do you think Isaiah called him Wonderful Counselor? King James missed it, Wonderful Comarca. No, he's a Wonderful Counselor. That means you skillfully went to court and satisfied all the ends, justice, all parties. So they left the court knowing that, case closed. Did they pay for the sin? He was paid for. Can he be free? He's totally free. That was the only way to release the justice, to be both justice and mercy. So God is not now doing you a favor by forgiving you. He's playing his role. Because justice, that sin has been paid for. He had to free Barabbas and die for Barabbas now. They didn't free Barabbas and say, Jesus, 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 how many times would we call you now? How many times would they want you today because of the weather and the way the argument was? Please, don't do it again. No! Somebody died. You have to undo that death for you not to be forgiven. It is the justice system of God. So when we say we have forgiveness of sins boldly, see, I'm going to preach this gospel boldly. Just be ready. I'm not going to be on the fence anymore. I learned from this pastor, Anosike, in South Africa. I learned a lot from him. Over 40 people sent me his video. Stand on Sunday morning with blue suit. Full church. Say, the first fruit is for me. Not the church, I am the oracle. Bring it to me that I may show you. I am the temple and I will show you realms. I watched him. I said, Nosike, I know that you've been going off lately into some things. But I thought you would begin to, in this new year, you will mellow down. No, He's moving in higher madness, higher realms of madness. I now say, but me, I'll be careful telling you the truth. Nah. I learned a lot from him over the. I watched him as he said it boldly. And his cloud, the church clapped for him and said, preaching good. That's what you should be saying. He will change his Rolls Royce in January. In February, he don't buy any Rolls Royce. Because you have to give it to him that he may be able to show you the dimensions, the realms. Is there Jesus? That's what he's saying. Literally, that's what he's saying. When the Bible says Christ has become our first fruit. So first fruit is not a person. It's not money. It's a person. His name is Jesus. Clearly, when I saw him, I said, Piflo, you can do better with this gospel. I'm not whistling about it. I'm shouting about it. All yours. I'm saying it. God will be unjust to take you to hell. He will have to go with you to hell because they will arrest him too. They'll come for him too. The accuser will show up immediately. They will come from him too to take you to hell. If I'm going to go to hell, me and God have opened a new department there. That's why he put you inside. He put himself inside. That means I'm locked up in this transaction. You're not understanding me. Anywhere you go, I go. I've spent so much in this transaction. I'm going to put somebody, and not somebody, I put myself inside. Let's do this together. Let's see how we can both go. You fall, I fall with you. You rise, I rise with you. That's what Jesus was saying in the loins of Ruth. Your people shall be my people. Anywhere you go, I go. Your God shall be my God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Because that's the great grandmother of Jesus. It was Jesus speaking in the loins of Ruth about the Isaiah. Feel it. God, save this voice. Jesus. The justice system. So I want you to know as you are living, when you say all my sins are forgiven, know exactly what you are saying. Jesus was your scapegoat. After they beat the scapegoat, they don't beat your dad. My mother is, sit down. When you see my mother in church, calm every time, I look and say, God, now, wow, life. My mother, worry doesn't live. All of you from Lagos, staying in Naughty Corner, Junior. No, I didn't have Naughty Corner. I would have received Toneba. Who knows Toneba? Tonigari, Toneba, shoe, and like four blows. They should have said, I will beat you. I'm like, yeah. What did you do? So I'm believing God that God will help my heart to forgive Samuel. Samuel was a deacon's child who always came to our house during the festive period. And Samuel was crazy. So when my mother is leaving the house, she will say, this vase here flourish when my flower did like this with your father's picture here. Making up break, oh. If anybody breaks this thing, I will beat you. Hey, I will just look at problem with this now. You'll not be shouting, that guy Samuel. Father, forgive him. He will go to that place and destroy it. When my mother comes, she will not look at the event. She will laugh one laugh. Then when they put E in front of your name and E after your name, you are in trouble. E flourish. E. Hey, God. When Delta woman put E for your name in beginning and E flourishing. Samuel, when are people going home? I would say, mommy, they are going to stay long. Say, no, they will go home. As they are going home, you almost want to enter their car with them because you know that justice is going to be served. So Samuel, hey, when are you going to call me tomorrow? Say, don't worry, I'll come to. I say, Samuel, don't even call me again. Do this our house. We say, Flourish, why are you talking to your friend? Like I said, As soon as we turn, you know, as you turn your back to move, so that back, there is the fivefold ministry of Abara on the spinal cord that will release you like this. Move. And I said, my mother has brought the wrapper up to see the short knicker. Then she will descend on you. But nothing will happen to Samuel. God beat his son. For you. So he doesn't have to beat Samuel again. There's Samuel in this house. Yes, I broke the law, but Jesus paid the price. So, yes, I messed up, but Jesus died for me. Yes, I really screwed up badly, but Jesus took my punishment. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. If this is your word, look for four people. Tell them, I am free.
Sit. Let me show you something. Simple. That's it.
And guess what? My mom will see somewhere and even buy him gifts. Somewhere. Such a good boy. Oh. And give him gift. I will just look and say, they give this boy gift. God will punish this boy. But guess what? I've taken the beating. Jesus brought his son. Because we're not his children. After beating him up, then he adopted us into the family. There's nothing you can destroy here. He already paid. The lamb is always a man. The substitute is always a man or a lamb. What do you think happened to the prodigal son when he got back? Because payment... Wait. Perez, let me talk to you. Don't tell them. Because we think that the father was just loving and just took the boy back. Without any payment made. They killed the lamb. The fattest one. So as the guy left, he just brought a lamb. It's Jesus who told us that parable. It was because he couldn't teach the gospel. So it was... He couldn't. They would not have understood. So in one chapter, Luke chapter 15, in my opinion, Jesus is best... Message before the cross. The lost sheep. The lost coin. The lost son. One chapter. He was trying to say something. Make I enter them. But they don't understand. He said the man left. As the son left, he took the fatted calf and began to feed. As soon as the son came, he says, go and kill this guy. So it was not the mercy. Just mercy. Justice. Because the substitute is always a man or a lamb. Jesus became your payment. Jesus became the scapegoat so that you will not have to pay for your sins anymore. So what you need to do is just receive Jesus into your heart and you would have received the payment for your sins past, present, and future, because whatever the Lord does is eternal. Why is this message hard in church to preach? Why is it scarce? Because this Sunday morning they will open Bible, but they can't open scriptures. First John chapter 2, propitiation. Jesus, I must finish this message today. I must, by fire, by force. My little children, these things are right, because people, you know, this kind of message will make people say, no, it doesn't. He says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, ask God for forgiveness. Why do you have an advocate? Justice has been served. Those are legal terms. Your mother is a judge. Ask her, she will explain to you better. Why do you have an advocate? The job of the advocate is to remind the system that, he didn't do anything. You're actually right. He didn't do anything. Advocate. Paul, after destroying lives, came and said, I have wronged no man. Paul, really? The leader of the Boko Haram squad, I have wronged no man. Why? My God. Wait, I don't have time. Next verse. He says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not just for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The whole world. And they didn't know. So what do we preach to the world? Your sins are forgiven. So you don't pray for forgiveness of sins. You receive forgiveness of sins. Just come and receive it by faith. Propitiation. Glory to God. Give me one testimony. There's a testimony that really blessed. I will be intentional about saying, sharing testimonies now. Just so you see. No, give me the other one. The other one. Give me the next one. I watched and rewatched and shared your messages. That's how to feed. Right before my eyes, I'm seeing the grace of God transform me. I thought I understood grace, but I'm learning different dimensions every day. I'm not struggling or striving. Watch this. I'm not even focused on bad habits. All of a sudden, I just noticed that I don't have certain desires anymore. Person is not in this country. I haven't even met her. I don't have certain desires anymore. And godly desires spring up. I'm becoming bold, audacious about my belief that all I ever want to do is talk anyone's ears off about the love of God in Christ. The joy and the peace of God I feel in my heart is indescribable. And the irony is that life isn't even rosy yet. This is the best season of my life. I'm in awe. I still cannot believe that's the only one message I've been listening to for 4 months. She's a 4 month member. Online, all day, every day, the gospel. You are truly my pastor because you are the one in my ears all week. Being born and raised in Abuja, you are the only reason I've ever wanted to live in Lagos. I envy people who have the privilege to sit under you, because truly, every service is an experience. Now they look me less, you know. Less now. Look me now. I'm going to London this week. You all need to pray. Pray. Pray very well. Pray. But that's what the gospel does. Propitiation. So it doesn't release you to sin. It just makes you better. You know my story? I traveled one time. First time. Went for a cruise with my family. Yeah. We got into one pool. No, it's like a jacuzzi. They all had their feet and their Apple Watch. And my wife bought that one for me that year. So I went to the locker and I removed mine. So I think it was Nduka and Nick, my family members, who said, no. It's water resistance. I said, it never reached police matter. And no one could explain. No evidence. Now my wife buy this one for me. I will keep it in the locker. I will swim. At the end of the swimming exercise, their own was working. My own too was working. Ojoro Castle, eh? So, no problem. One day I was jogging, my morning walk, and the rain came that day heavy. Soaked this watch because I was trying. I'd run very far, and I said, "Chai, there's nobody to call to bring the car." The rain dealt with this watch silly. I go to the house, and it was still working. I say, "Okay, I understand the scripture, my little children. These things I write unto you that you sin not." But if anybody sin, perhaps you have an advocate. If man can do waterproof, God has done sin proof. Yeah. But when you know somebody who is mad, it's now because you have waterproof. You now go to the pool. It's waterproof. The problem is not with the message. There is something. You demand. You are not okay. It's not the message. The person is not fine. Don't blame it on the message. Blame it on who? The person. Are you understanding me? It's the state of the heart of the person. So we are not forgiven because we are remorseful. We are forgiven because he is merciful. So it's not our remorse that triggers the forgiveness of God. It's not the kata and tears. I made you this morning, man. Oh, no. It's the justice system and the message of God. 1 John, let me give you scripture for the 1 John chapter 2, verse 12. And I want you to read this loud. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. No, the way you murmured it, I didn't like it. So read it out. 1, 2, 3, go. For his name's sake. Not because of your... Eh? Yes. His reputation. Another version says, yes, reputation. For his name's sake. Glory to God. Let's go to the last point so that we can close. I have less than 10 minutes to do this. Pray with me. I wish I was still around. I would have done that. This identification. This one was the one that Paul shouted about in scriptures. More than anything. Your blessing is in this one. Identification. This one. His name is Jacob. The bad guy. Jacob was not in the conversation when the mother heard the father tell Esau, go get ready, get me venison. I want to bless you. Guess what? Esau ran out of the house to go look for venison. Jacob's mother said, don't worry, I got you. I went to prepare something to cook, right? And gave to Jacob. I said, Jacob, come. You be Jacob. I said, Jacob, come. You're going to give your dad this. Jacob said, hey, hold up, hold up. You're making a mistake. I'm not as hairy as my brother. He says, no worry, I got you. I'll put skin on your neck. Put skin on your hand. This is the second time skin is mentioned in scripture. You know the thing with this story of Jacob and Esau? It has the full great exchange. It has substitution. It has propitiation. And it has identification. One story. He says, no, I got you. I'll put skin on your neck. The first time skin, you hear skin in scripture, was God killing a lamb to cover the nakedness of Adam. God sacrificing because fig leaves can't cover yourself. Only the lamb can cover you properly. That's why when Jesus saw the fig leaves, not because the fig leaves didn't have fruit, but the Bible says it was not in the season to have fruit. It was that old quarrel from the garden. Now, long issues. It will just transfer aggression. So when Jesus saw the fig, he said, you are here again. You impostor. No man eats from you from this day. It was not in the season for the tree to have fruit. So it's not because it did not have fruit that Jesus caused. Don't preach faithfulness and fruitfulness from there. So if you don't have, you are not fruitful, Jesus will cause you a lie. A tree, it was not in the season. Are you hearing me? It was not in the season to have fruit. It was the quarrel from the Garden of Eden that Jesus wanted to just end the fight once and for all. That this thing that Adam used, but I'm the lamb, which is the real deal. So by putting his skin on his neck, what was he saying? Sacrifice has been made. Took the food and brought it to the Father. You be the Father. Sit down. And brought the food to the Father. He gives to the Father. The Father says, how is it that you found it so quickly, my son? He went with three things that got a close. He didn't go as Jacob. He went as Esau, your first son. Identity. So he didn't go in his name, for blessed is he who comes. I'm coming as Jacob. No, Esau, your first son. Secondly, he wore Esau's garment. Because in those days, they didn't have deodorant. So every garment had your B.O. So the Father said, draw near to me, I want to kiss you. Not kissing. When he came close, he said, you smell like the field that the Lord has blessed. What he was saying is that you smell like Jesus. That means when I hear this voice, it's Raman's voice. But what I feel is the sacrifice. What I smell. And I cannot curse. The man was blind, not dumb. He knew he was Jacob. He was blind, not dumb. He knew he was Jacob. He says, the voice I hear is Jacob. But what I feel here is Esau. So when we come to God, we come to him knowing that we're coming in the name of our older brother. His name is Jesus. And we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched by the feelings of our infirmity. So when he comes, whilst he hears our voice, but he feels Jesus, he sees Jesus, he smells Jesus. This is what releases the blessings of God. I'm preaching good. So he came with three things. First, the name, the cloth. What is our cloth? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then he came with the smell, the favor of God. But that's not what I want to show you today. And this is really powerful. This is really powerful what I want to show you today. I need to close. Thank you, Gerard. Genesis 27 verse 3. Genesis 27 verse 3. Oh, you will love this. You will love this. Oh, pastors, you will love this if you really get it. It says, now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons and thy quiver. You don't need to use weapon to satisfy God. You will get it later. Your weapons and your quiver, and go to the field and take me some. What does it mean of venison? Venison is antelope, bush meat. Oh, I love this one. Venison is antelope, bush meat. That means go out there and rake antelope for me. What they gave to Baba is not bush meat. What they gave to Baba is goat meat from his house. So Baba supplied. For God will provide himself.
I hope with these few words of mine, I don't have to.
From his own house. Just like he did to Abraham.